This podcast is brought to you by Viva Global. Experience the difference with Viva. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
We're going to bring another coach into the discussion now, and joining us is also Fox Sports analyst Scott Miller. Scott, thank you for coming on the show.
Evening, guys. How are we doing?
Scott, we're just talking about Kevin Muscat stepping away from Melbourne Victory. Surely this wouldn't have been an easy decision for him.
No, surely not. And I was just listening to the back end of your conversation there, and it must be said what a legacy he's left. And that is a true word. He's been a club man. He's so respected amongst the club. And as you said, he's done it as a player and a manager. And essentially, he did his apprenticeship as well for a couple of years as an assistant coach, and then progressed into the head coach's role. And I must admit, having coached for a number of years, I can understand why. Potentially the burnout, the mental fatigue, and wanting to give everything for a certain club. Sometimes you are going through stages in life where you are mentally fatigued and tired, and it's time for a rest. And I think we can all really applaud what he's done at the club.
He's done a tremendous job. He's been there since day one. He's seen a lot of success, a few tough times as well, but for most of it, he's been a big part of why Melbourne Victory is the most successful club in Australia. Scott, a pretty intriguing grand final played out last night, won by Sydney FC on penalties. What did you make of the occasion?
It was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I sat there last night watching it, and there's no better environment to see a packed stadium full of soccer fans wanting to watch an entertaining game. And fortunately, albeit Victory didn't make the grand final, my pick was it would be a Victory in Perth. For me, Sydney were far better. The way they executed their game plan yesterday, I know people can talk about how Perth created more chances, but I just saw an assuredness to Sydney all throughout the game, and you saw key players like Ninkovic working so hard defensively to stop that threat down that left-hand side and to support Grant. And I just think as a unit and as a team, they just really performed fantastically yesterday.
And as a manager, is there a stage during the 90 minutes where you start maybe mentally preparing for extra time and beyond? Does that ever cross your mind as a manager?
You know what? It's actually the opposite. You're actually praying that it's not going there, because ultimately, once it does go to those penalties, it's a luck of the draw, as everyone speaks about. And you saw the execution of a few penalties last night from players that any other given day would probably put them away. So at that point, as a manager, you're thinking, well, listen, all that hard work is now defined by 5 seconds of a player running up and the decision from a goalkeeper or poor execution. And it is unfair, but it's the way sometimes, because ultimately the body would not be able to play any longer than 120 minutes, you'd suggest, based upon the output of some of the players towards the end. But cruel way to finish, but it comes down to the composure. And Sydney were the ones on the night.
And what do you think, like from a coach's perspective, what would have Tony Popovich told his players at the end of normal time and then going into extra time?
I was watching that quite clearly, and it was interesting to see two camps. My observations of Sydney and Corica was very much a motivational-driven team talk. You could see his animation. It was all about the sort of group and probably how hard they had worked. Where on the flip side, I was watching Tony sort of communicate to his team, and it looked more structural or tactically sort of approach. So, as I said, two different approaches from two different managers, and ultimately it's really defined by what you see previously going into that, and how you think you can affect the game. But I spoke on Friday about the defensive organisation of Sydney, and they executed that perfectly, albeit that Perth did cause them problems. It was safe problems, in my opinion, and the execution was superb.
Even though there were a number of new players at Sydney FC this season, there was a decent contingent of players who played last season. Would Steve Corica have used not making the grand final as motivation, especially going into extra time as penalties for his players?
Say that again, mate, sorry.
Given Sydney FC didn't make the grand final last season after being the best team by far, do you think Sydney FC would have, Steve Corica would have used that as motivation, especially in extra time and heading into penalties?
Now, you know what, it's an odd one. And how you affect players can be done in so many different ways. However, if you're centralising that motivation to one element, that's dangerous because sometimes players look too far ahead. I think Steve Corica looks like the type of manager that wants consistent development in his team. He wants a modest team, but a team that works for one another as well. And that's what I saw. I saw a continued growth throughout the season from their performances. If you think back 4 to 6 rounds in, people were questioning the decision. However, from that point onwards, it was very self-disciplined. The team orientation was very disciplined as well. And they picked up points very quietly. And suddenly we find themselves in the final, playing against a top team. And came away with the result in their favour. I just think based upon consistency and the right mindset going into the game.
And Steve Corica did field an unchanged starting 11, but as for Tony Popovic, he made one tactical change with Andy Keogh, who was benched.
Yeah, I noticed that, and brave decision, but he knows how he wants to upset the back four of Sydney and ultimately probably wanted to affect it with Keane's speed and mobility in behind the back four. Interestingly enough, it was the first sub, essentially. So he did have a plan A and plan B. What he was trying to do is expose the space in behind so Castro can get more space in front of the back four. And ultimately didn't come off because at times we saw Castro dropping so deep into that mid-third, he was behind the first press. And for me, I'm sitting there going, Steve Corica will be thinking, this is a great result. Mm-hmm. We've got their most dangerous player pretty much in the back third, receiving the ball at times, almost as a first receiver. And any time you do that, you're in control because you can screen the passes in front and protect what you've got, as opposed to the Castro we've seen, the little key passes that you've seen in between the back four.
Yeah, it was built up as a great battle between Castro and Ninkovic in particular. But one of the other subplots to this grand final was the enthralling and very entertaining contest between Ryan Grant and Jason Davidson.
Yeah, it was exciting. First and foremost, their physical capacities through the roof, both of them. You look at their output very late on in the game. None of them had really stopped. 1v1, they almost nullified each other slightly just with their determination and ability to go both ways. It was so interesting to see that battle. But, you know, it added another element to the game. And for me, what a final represents to both teams. And Ryan Grant's had a phenomenal year. He really has. He's been a standout for Australian soccer and most importantly, Sydney. But Jason Davidson, towards the end of that game, he was the main threat for Perth, I felt, down that left-hand side. And if anything was going to come, it was going to come from his side. So it just poised for more. And obviously them sort of standing up to one another created more intensity to the game, which is good to see, and passion, which is what we all love to see.
And Scott, what did you make of the VAR decision, and particularly the fact that if the goal had been given to Sydney FC in the first half, do you think that it might have changed the end result?
Well, I'm pretty sure I've spoken to a number of people today, and it wasn't offside. So, and I've heard a lot of people discuss the offside ruling, and if Fox Sports have the yellow line capacity to draw the line across the pitch, surely VAR should have the same technology. I don't understand that one bit. If you've got an expensive bit of equipment and you can't have Piero or Sports Code illustrating on the pitch the definitive straight line, which gives you the correct answer, I don't see the point in it. I really don't, because ultimately it's a person's opinion as opposed to the technology and what they've seen. And listen, forgive me if you disagree, but it looked to me as if he was in line, if anything, and not offside. So contentious, built to the intensity and the atmosphere furthermore. But I'm pretty sure we would have been hearing a lot more about it if Sydney didn't go on to win the game.
That's absolutely right. Thankfully, it hasn't overshadowed Sydney FC's fourth championship. We're, of course, speaking with Fox Sports commentator and head coach of Langwarrin, Scott Miller. And Scott, your Langwarrin team has a big FFA Cup match against South Melbourne this week. What's the feeling internally coming up against one of the biggest Victorian sides?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting for the team. It's a three-game week for these guys. We play on Saturday and obviously Wednesday evening and then again on Saturday over in Geelong. So you can imagine these players don't get to play football that often. So the importance is on your nutrition and sleep and recovery from Saturday's games being great. But I'm sure the adrenaline of playing South Melbourne and the opportunity to represent the club at Lakeside will get them over the line. And ultimately, it's about respecting them, however, going there with the right mindset to compete, because anything's possible. And we do have a good team. We really do. But it just comes down to who's at it in the night, and we're preparing quite well.
And game one of the three this week happened on the weekend where you guys drew with Moreland. And from what we're hearing, it was a bit of a chaotic second half.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was. We conceded early on, and which was disappointing. So we changed a few things at halftime, and in our opinion, we controlled the game in the second half. We obviously scored a fantastic goal on transition there, and then really down to our own sort of downfall, we created a problem for ourselves, and then they went up 2-1, and then finally in the last kick of the game, Burgess stepped up and put one in the bottom corner. So entertaining game to the end, very passionate. And exciting end for everyone that was there, not so much for the coaches. However, a great output from everyone, and it's great to get a point away from home, especially on the West.
Well, Scott, thank you for joining us, and all the very best for Wednesday night.
Yeah, well, guys, you're more than welcome to join us down there and come have a look.
Will do, will do. Scott, take care. We'll speak to you soon.
All right, guys, see you.